This is North Sound 1 Friday Sports.
Welcome. In the next 60 minutes, we bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, all memories of the Hearts' defeat vanquished. Well, you know, apart from that one right there. The Dons take their general upward curve and good form to the home of the champions to test themselves against Celtic. And they do so buoyed by the news. Three of their stars have committed their futures to the club by penning long-term extension deals. More from all of them in a moment, as well as the rest of the Scottish Premiership build-up, plus the latest news from the Highland League, Balmoor and beyond, as well as rugby and more ahead of the in-demand Top 30 on the North East number one for sport across the region before seven. Stay with us.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
Into the belly of the beast, a trip to Glasgow to face champions and league leaders Celtic boss Derek McInnes on that in moments at the end of a week which has seen three first-teamers commit to further long-term deals at the club.
I think it's great all three boys wanted to stay and were very open to committing themselves for a longer period, but all three boys, you know, once we spoke to them, each and every one of them wanted to be here and be part of it. You know, they've shown a real willingness to be here very quickly done. I think they see that they want to be part of something here going forward. I think they want to see improvement in themselves to try and be part of a successful Aberdeen team.
For me, it was a no-brainer. I was delighted when the manager came to me last weekend, asked me if I was wanting to stay, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it here. I'm playing well, and I want to stay here, and I've shown the manager my commitment and my loyalty to the club.
I think that the boys have really bought into the manager's ideas. We know we're not going to change overnight, that we're a work in progress, maybe take a couple of years to get to where we want to be. But you can see, along with Niall and Jack in the summer, and then Jamie and Peter today, everyone's really bought into the manager's ideas, and everyone wants to be here to help Aberdeen get back to where they should be.
I'm really enjoying my football at the minute, and you know, I'm really enjoying working with the manager and Doc, and yeah, I'm really delighted, yeah. This time last year, it was, you know, I was in a different position, and you know, I'm delighted that, you know, I'm now in this position and renew my contract here. You know, going out on loan to St Johnstone was good for me to, you know, gain some experience, and you know, it's helped me, and yeah, I'm really pleased.
Evening, you're on North Sound's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, Dave's Galloway, McDermott, Peter Pollitt, Johnny Hayes and Jimmy Langfield there, guys, all echoing similar sentiments. Everyone's bought into the new manager's regime, Dave. And Johnny adding with Niall and Ryan Jack committing already in the summer, that's three more. The future looks bright with that as a nucleus. Of all the players there, I think it must be especially pleasing for Peter Pollitt, because we've always known this player was in there, but through a combination of probably maturing and encouragement from the sidelines, Derek's finally managed to unlock that Peter Pollitt on a regular basis, hasn't
he? And it is a Peter Pollitt we, you know, we certainly, and a lot of the fans who've watched his development, he's quite frustrating, Peter, because you know he's got so much talent. Injuries, you know, you can't legislate for that. But as he said there himself, the spell at St Johnstone seemed to really work well for him. He's been working on his own fitness, and the great thing is, now that he's getting a regular, he must be one of the first names on the team sheet. He's getting a regular game, and lo and behold, the injuries aren't recurring. And also remember as well, the five that you mentioned, Mark Reynolds is on a long-term contract now as well. So that's half a dozen players, say, for the next 2.5 seasons at least, all of those guys. So it's a great bit of business, and I think all credit to the club and all credit to Derek and Tony and the rest of the backroom team, because as the lads genuinely are wanting to be at the club, because everybody believes that perhaps something special is on the horizon.
What do you think of the new contracts? Well, let's delve into the chat boards, as always, with Aberdeen Mad for this week's topic, started by Milne AFC, Evening Stewart, who simply says, Hayes, PP and Langfield signed up. Good work, AFC, as usual. Dave McDermott has your thoughts on that one, as it developed online.
Callum Gilhooley, well done to all concerned, particularly in getting Pollitt's future sorted out. Delighted he's staying a while longer. Truly impressed by this, says you basher, although it won't make it a... won't it make the end of season a bit boring when none of our key players are playing the will he leave or will he re-sign game? Fair point. From Exterminator 75, Hayes, Peter Pollitt and Langfield signed up. Just seen it on Red Web. What a lift. Totally under the radar too. Just shows what a difference a happy workplace makes. And from Aldo 1983, AFC manager signs up players on longer contract before Christmas. Shocker. Not the catchiest of headlines, but well done to the board and manager for doing something that's caused big problems for us over the last few years. I know this may be premature, but should AFC be looking at extending the manager's contract? Says Big X Right Peg. He seems to be the catalyst for these deals. It's the first time in my lifetime that we are keeping key players on longer deals, says Dumfries Sheep. Langfield, Reynolds, Jack Hayes, Pollock McGinn have all signed long-term contracts. Great news for the club, and as a result, I can see season ticket sales rising along with average attendance. Brilliant news, completely out of nowhere. Almost as shocked with this news, says the Dunger, as I am that there's not been a moronic comment about Langers on the thread yet. Hold on just a tick. Hayes and Pollock have had good seasons, says SS Don. Langer's not the most liked guy in our squad, but not many can complain about this season. 05 Carr. My only concern about Jamie signing is the complete lack of competition for his signature. Not sure what he means by that. He's been decent this season. He's improving as a player, kicking especially, even at this later stage of his career. Glaring hole in our youth development plan not to have produced a keeper to challenge for the first team spot. I would just say Danny Rogers is not that far away and is very highly thought of, the young Irishman. All in all, good news. I like that we're doing early, quiet business. D-Don, getting Jamie to sign now preempts the Daily Paper's back page makey-up story on Saturday morning. Celtic want Langfield when Forster goes to Barcelona, and it's a fair point. SC 1980, I'll stand by my comments pre-season made in the past. With Jamie keeping goal, we'll never win anything. So there we go.
Cove Creep,
a fit
Pollock,
enjoying his fit butt is a joy to watch. He's finally showing that early potential we saw in the latter Jimmy days, and in this form, with the camel-coated sharks with their promises of Pams being crossed with English second-tier silver, would have started circling. And from Mason 89, three semi-finals, United, Celtic, Celtic, three shaky performances. That said, there's only one way to alleviate my doubts. This is Jamie's talking about, and he's the perfect opportunity to do it on the 1st of February 2014. And from Ian Old Jesse, good news, Pollock is an early candidate for Player of the Year. Very impressed with him so far. Glad to have Hayes with us for another 2 years. I suppose Jamie's run of form will fall off a cliff now that he's got the new contract in the bag.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Prove me wrong, Jamie. Ohio Red, excellent news. I'm very pleased that Peter and Johnny are staying for a few years yet. Jamie, I'm in two minds about. He's been much improved this season, but I'm mindful of the previous 8 seasons when he was so-so at best. Perhaps improvements down to a change in coaching methods and the fact we're defending much better cannot hurt. That said, he's made some excellent saves this season and nothing to do with the players in front of him. Finally, from Tubelay, I've used this argument multiple times over the years and I'll wheel it out again. There's been numerous goalkeepers brought in at Aberdeen with the intention of providing competition or indeed replacing Langers. Some have had a very good pedigree. Brown, Weaver, Nelson, Howard, etc. all came with good reputations and experience at a decent level, and Jamie's always shown himself to be better than them. By all means, look for a replacement, but finding one is much harder than it might appear. And again, I would just say that I think Jamie has been in outstanding form.
He's been terrific.
I'm going to touch wood before I say this, gentlemen.
Celtic tomorrow.
before I say this, have we had any? And you know what I'm talking about, Langers, Clangers, this season yet?
I think the sending off, which looking back probably was unnecessary in the game against, who was it again?
Yeah, I can't remember. No, I still don't think it was a red card.
We're not going
really
back
don't.
There, are we?
No, it wasn't a red card.
We're only on till 7, so if we're going to start arguing about referees' decisions...
Dave will be available on a separate podcast that you can download.
Absolutely.
Over a 6-week season.
Ian Bryan's
the one I sort of pulled out of that lot, by the way, Big X Right Peg, who said that it does make the game, will he leave or will he re-sign at the end of the season? Not resign, but re-sign. Mm-hmm. It does kind of make that almost redundant. And he said he looks forward to that game. I don't. I'm more than happy that one's been packed
off. I think it may have been a wee bit
tongue-in-cheek. Yes. I agree.
But it's great. It's great at this stage, and it was a complete surprise. There'd been nothing in the chat boards, nothing in the media about it, and it's the way it should be done. It's the way it used to be done pre-internet, social media, etc. Where and it also keeps other clubs. If you do that, nobody else can come in at the last minute and say, "Oh, you're just away. We'll up the offer." And Peter Pollock, there's no doubt that in his current form, the transfer window in January you wouldn't have been surprised if somebody had been sniffing around.
Oh, absolutely.
All we have to remember is, you know, we lost Ryan Fraser at the same time last year, and the
we lost Jack Grimmie before he even made it to the first team.
I know. Well, he did make a substitute.
Yeah, he didn't start, did he?
No.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on the topic in our weekly poll. You'll see both online at Aberdeen Mad from around midweek onwards. You can simply take part there. Keep it clean and there's a chance you may make the show. It depends on how small the text is and whether Dave can read it. Bodes well. So on to Celtic and the boss again.
Well, it is difficult. You know, I've obviously been there as a player and manager and won, but more often than not, I've lost games there. And the players will be the same, but it's, we can win the game. You know, we've got to make sure we've got that mindset going to the game. Celtic have shown a level of consistency over the last few while, even though Neil's brought in some new players this season. I still got a familiarity about it as well. You know, I think that they're always very difficult to beat, and to especially at Parkhead. But it's the type of game that, you know, myself and the players are all looking forward to. The support will be there in good numbers, believing in the team. The staff believe in the team, myself included. You know, we believe that we can go there and get a result. You know, and that's not being naive. It's just that I think we have a confidence that when we're right and playing at the best of our ability, we can cause teams problems. And Celtic, we feel, as tough as an opponent as they'll be, that as a team that we feel we can do well against.
Would you say they might have one eye on the Milan game next week?
No, I'm asked that all the time when we play them. I think we played them prior to a European game last time, and their focus was totally on us. You know, I think, and I think they're very, very professional. They're used to having that kind of backlog of games and that kind of programme, you know, so they'll be more than ready for it. When they play in front of their home crowd and as demanding as they are, I'm pretty sure that they'll be ready to play us and to try and beat us.
Derek doesn't think having that European game will have any bearing on Celtic's focus for the game. What do you think, Dave? I mean, will the thoughts be elsewhere? Or I suppose, perhaps more telling, here we were bemoaning last week the fact the Scotland squad had no Dons in it. It did, however, have a few Celtic players in there, which now all of a sudden could be a good thing for us, right? They might have a few bumps and bruises. Energy reserves slightly depleted.
Yeah, I don't think for a moment that Celtic will be unduly distracted by the AC Milan game. They've got a huge pool. They've got the strongest squad in Scotland. They'll manage to cope. Not a problem.
One of those Dons who we thought was worth a call-up, raring to go, especially given the fact he didn't last too long in the last Celtic fixture, it's Aberdeen's Jamie Langfield.
That game's gone. That happened. I get sent off. We could beat 2-0. I let the boys down. I wasn't challenged. I got my suspension and I served it. I think that game's gone, as I say, and I just look to the future and I look to hopefully putting in a good performance on Saturday and hopefully getting the 3 points for the club.
Up until the Hearts game, he'd been doing all right, a bunch of clean sheets to his name, a credit to both Jimmy and the solidity of the defence in front of him. Just briefly on that Hearts game, was he at fault for any of the goals, Dave? I think the defence probably were a couple. Then.
Yeah, it's been erased from my mind now. So,
except for the referee.
Except for the referee, that will take a long time, believe me. And I'm not alone in that.
No.
I think it was just one of these games. As the manager said afterwards, we actually, in that first half, that's as good as we've played all season.
Chances are, both Jamie and that defence are going to face as tough a test as they're likely to encounter all season tomorrow, you'd imagine anyway. Are they up for that challenge? Can they overcome it, Dave?
Yes, definitely, without a doubt. It's all in the mind. If you think you're up for it, you're up for it. You know, you've got to be positive.
And you are?
Yes, definitely.
Remember when last season when we were 3-1 up against Celtic in the second half?
I do.
You know, when, as I've said to
I do.
Many
I remember
people,
how it ended as well.
I know, unfortunately. Horrific. But, you know, Josh McGuinness looked like Messi that afternoon. I mean, he was brilliant. He was absolutely fantastic.
He terrorised the Celtic defence that day.
Kelvin Wilson was centre-backs. But the Celtic, again, that's the area that you're looking to put pressure on that. Through the centre of the Celtic rear guard.
You're on Northern One's Friday Sport. Don't forget the entire match, Celtic versus Aberdeen live with us tomorrow on Red TV at afc.co.uk. In position as always, two Daves and Andrew Shiney, full match commentary through very red tinted glasses. But if you can't be with us online, perhaps you're being dragged around the shops, Christmas shopping. I know.
Still November.
It's ridiculous.
You can keep up with things in the car. Elisa's on Northern One with the gossip and goals. We'll bring you the goals and all the talking points right here on Northern One. We're just ahead. We'll hear more from the Dons and tomorrow's opposition, plus the rest of the weekend action. Previewed in full on the way in moments.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sports.
6:23 tomorrow afternoon in Glasgow is Celtic versus Aberdeen. Hoops boss Neil Lennon.
It's an important game. I think Aberdeen have had a pretty good start to the season, and I know they were unfortunately playing very well until they lost. You know, they've been down to 10 men, and they've been playing very well previously. So for me, I think they'll be there or thereabouts come the end of the season.
You or I could have had a stab at writing that and be not too out of the mark, I suspect. same noises every time. But if you're Neil Lennon, the thing you won't ever admit in front of cameras or on mic is which game is more important to you as boss, Aberdeen tomorrow or that European one in the middle of the week. For the finances of the club, it's next week. There's no question, right?
Absolutely. I know Celtic are, they are making all the right noises and they want to go through, they're talking about going through the league campaign undefeated as well, which is a tall order, but I just think if there's anybody carrying a knock at all, they will not be, any of their, and I know, I totally appreciate what Dave's saying, they've got a huge squad, but they're not, they're certainly not unbeatable. Well, and if you take certain players, make changes in key positions, then we've a chance.
Well, that's kind of what I was going to get onto. I mean, do you think anyone will be rested? Will he think he can get by, that his squad is talented enough to rest the players that he believes will be pivotal?
Yeah, he will. And also, ultimately...
And what weaknesses does that leave?
Well, ultimately, midweek, it's last chance saloon for them in terms of Europe. And not just... There's Champions League and there's still the Europa League to play for as well, Champions League. So they could end up being out of Europe, which is the worst case. Obviously, the Holy Grail is the Champions League.
Yep, but it isn't just that, is it? It's their entire financial structure. I mean, it's all underpinned by this.
It's all geared. And also, there's the Icelandic lad who's joining them. And why is he joining them? Because he wants to play in the Champions League. It's what every footballer would love to aspire to.
Possibly not the most astute, then.
But also, no, maybe not. but also, I think the other point is that Celtic know that they can still... They can't afford to drop points and win the league. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying they're going out, obviously, to drop points, but they know that they've got a bit of a comfort zone. Mm. So I would say Neil Lennon and the Celtic board, Peter Law and the rest, they want to win tomorrow, but by golly, the everything has been geared. Well, you only have to look at the way they're prepared for this game. It's all been about Milan. There's a wee, and then Chris Commons saying, "Oh, we always beat Aberdeen," which I'm sure is a nice incentive for Derek and the boys in the dressing room.
Hopefully, Commons won't be playing then, because I'm sure Neil Lennon would see him as one of the aces in the pack for the AC Milan game.
He's also got a good record against Aberdeen.
The 4-3 game, 12 seconds.
Quite happy for him to be rested if it's all the same. Yeah.
He's looking tired, the boy.
Especially if it boosts the chances in midweek. That's fantastic. That's the main game.
I want them to win in midweek, can I just say?
So do I.
I don't want them to win tomorrow.
No. I hope they get gubbed tomorrow, and I hope they beat AC Milan on Tuesday.
We're all agreed on that, then. Yeah. And so do the players who've committed their long-term futures to the club. First, Johnny Hayes believed the squad is making progress.
I've heard a lot of people, even before I signed, a lot of people said Aberdeen was a bit of a sleeping giant, that the fan base, etc., that it should be better than it was at the time. We know, as I said, it's not going to be an overnight sort of change that we're going to win cup finals and finish second overnight. We know it's going to take maybe a couple of years to get to where we want to be. There's obviously signs are better this year, but we know we still need to get a bit more consistent in the league, and we need to not just get the cup semi-finals, we need to be in finals and winning finals to please everybody around the place.
Peter Pollitt can't wait to get back to, and who better to test yourself against than the champions on their own ground?
There's an appetite there every single week to go and win a game, and our history's our past against Celtic hasn't been the best away at Parkhead, so I think it just drives us on to go and prove something. And for me, to sign a new contract and get a good result at the weekend would be, top of a great week. So no, I think we're all up for it and we're all looking forward to it.
I'd love to see a headline in a paper on a Sunday morning that read something along the lines of Peter Pollitt picked a perfect pass at Parkhead or something of that nature.
Yeah, that was a bit like Danny Lennon's post-match when he was on waiting to go into the press. I remember when Pollitt scored late on, was it Peter Pollitt? it was actually quite funny for Danny Lennon, as Danny Lennon is.
Danny Lennon in the third person.
We haven't spoken about the players who are missing. No Barry Robson or Willow Flood, although going to Celtic Park, I'm not sure that's entirely a bad thing. I don't know. Injuries and suspension taking their toll again on the same players as before, as it works out.
gives a chance to others to come in. They're up against a lot of experience in that Celtic midfield, though, aren't they?
Yes, they are, but we didn't do too badly when Willow and Barry, and that's the point that the manager's been making. You know, you'd rather have them there, but if they're not there, then you got on with it. And the players, I've said before that the players that will come in are not there just to make up numbers. Everybody has a role to play, and everybody can potentially be a match winner for Aberdeen or play their part in being a match winner.
How do you approach this game tactically from the Dons' point of view, Dave? I mean, if you're Derek McInnes, is it a case of frustration rather than go and have a go, you try and keep them out, maybe play in the break, or do you just go down and have a go and take the game to Celtic?
I personally think Aberdeen should just go and do their own game, because, you know, play to their strengths rather than change your tactics to try and stifle the opposition. Just go out and give it a good go. Play the regular 4-1-4-1, which has brought a pretty good degree of success this season, and just give it your best shot.
Let's get on to the teams for tomorrow then. Predicted Eric time. These are the 11 men who you think will start for Derek McInnes Dons tomorrow in Glasgow against Celtic. Dave the Younger, we'll start with you. The teams for tomorrow, please.
Okay, Langfield and goals. Across the back, Shaughnessy, Anderson, Considine and Reynolds. Jack, the sitting player. Then a four of Hayes, Smith, Pollitt and McGinn. And I would have Vernon leading the line.
And Dave?
Same back five. Langers, Shaughnessy, Anderson, Considine and Reynolds. Then I've got Ryan Jack and Michael Hector sitting in front, with Johnny Hayes, Niall McGinn and Peter Pollitt in a fairly fluid three. And then I think Big Calvin will be given another opportunity tomorrow.
Fairly fluid three.
Yeah. The one to watch, the man who will potentially make the difference to the result for the Dons, Dave the Elder, you're one
I'm
to
going
watch.
For Calvin Zola, because it's the kind of stage that we've seen it in ever more flashes as the season's progressed. Now that he's getting his fitness back, and to be fair to the big lad, he did miss his pre-season, a huge chunk of it. And there's no doubt he's got there's a player that's maybe been hiding for a bit in there. And what better way to really announce that he has arrived? I think Aberdeen fans are still a wee bit undecided about him.
The jury's still out.
Scoring at Parkhead would see him arrive properly in Scottish football.
I mean, I wouldn't say that to his face.
I don't
have a ladder. And I'm not on the second floor when he's coming up the stairs. So
all I see is a pair of knees when I see
But no, I'm not entirely sold on Calvin Zola yet. Time will tell, hopefully. You're one to watch, Dave.
My one to watch, Niall McGinn. He's got everything in his locker, and he is more than capable of, badly damaging Celtic tomorrow.
And finally, a scoreline for the match. Celtic versus Aberdeen, Dave Galloway.
Okay, my honest but nevertheless biased opinion, I'll go for Celtic 1, Aberdeen 2.
Oh dear, that's the same as me. Right, Dave. This is my favourite. It's 6:31 on a Friday Sport. This is my favourite moment of the entire week.
No, I'm going to disappoint you, I think.
Oh,
because
no.
I hope
because you're going for single fingers.
I hope I'm wrong.
Right.
But I'm going to go for 2-2.
A Desmond.
Indeed. I've already had that. So when I said that to somebody, that was exactly the response I got. These old ones are the best.
They are.
Well, maybe
2-2,
not.
Dave.
Yeah.
The only other time
I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope we've.
I think there were only two other times that happened. That was Real Madrid and was it Bayern Munich? I think you.
No, I went for us winning. we just didn't get the five against Real Madrid that I thought.
There was never any second leg played against Bayern Munich. I hope you realise that. Okay, so 2-2 says Dave and 2-1 says Dave Galloway. Let's just see how confident you are going into this one. The weekly poll again, an Aberdeen mad like this. Will Aberdeen get their first league win at Parkhead since 2004 on Saturday? Have you got that one opened?
I am just updating it as we speak. Refresh, refresh,
pretty close
refresh.
Early when I
hope we're a bit quicker than the Scotland team last week.
Oh, it wasn't my fault it came up one player at a time. I didn't know that.
Was it half time by the time you got to the subs?
I wish I'd never bothered.
They were on the plane back to the States.
It is a yes. 53.7% for will Aberdeen get their first league win at Parkhead since 2004 on Saturday. No, 46.3%.
Who cares about the 46.3%? Yeah. I'll take that. Now, before we get on to other games, let me just mention this. Of note, if you're heading down to the game, it shouldn't really affect buses too much. But if you're going to Parkhead by car, it could be a bit of an nightmare. No access to London Road for vehicles coming in from the south of the city, if you're listening
to
us online.
Which is the current going if you're going the M73, don't.
So no access to London Road for vehicles coming in from the south. Access travelling from the north will be as normal, which is good news for most of us. No facilities for car parking in the usual public car park. Supporters' buses will be parked as normal on Springfield Road. There's also an event at the nearby Sir Chris Hoy Velodrome, which may also compound parking in that area. The general suggestion that's being made is that you give yourself at least 30 minutes more than usual, or you might struggle. Or, you know, either that or a backpack or something, a rocket pack. In the other games, early kickoff sees Terry Butcher take his first game in charge at Hibs on the road to Danny Lennon's St Mirren.
Certainly. Showed me that they want to be here and want to play for the Hibernian Football Club, and they want to entertain and win football games, and that's what we have to do. But yeah, underachieving, overachieving, you know, you can label teams with that, but from what I've seen so far, this is a good side here and good players here that haven't played to their potential, but now have the chance to do just that.
St Mirren versus Hibs, Dave, will they get that new manager bounce? Actually, they probably will one way or another, let's be honest. So will they get it in a good way?
If it's in a bad way, some of the players will be bouncing off the dressing room walls, courtesy of Terry. But no, I think they probably will. St Mirren in a good run. I think it will end tomorrow, and I'm going for a 3-1 away win.
For Jackie McNamara, his current club taking on the one who left to go there.
You know, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. It's about Dundee United. You know, it's about me being professional. Again, Saturday's not about me. It's about our team going and playing football and trying to win the match.
Alan Archibald's Jags needing points.
It's the same at the start of the season. We didn't be too positive on it. And we started well, and stats are stats. You can make them sound whatever way you want, but as a manager, you don't hide from it. We know we need to start winning games, and yeah, we play good football, but we want to win games.
Probably still the most entertaining 0-0 so far this season. That's how it started. How's it going to go this time when Dundee United host Partick Thistle, Dave Galloway?
Well, I'm really looking forward to this one, actually. Two teams who play really good, entertaining stuff. I think there'll be goals at both ends, but I take Dundee United to win 3-1.
For Hearts, back at Towncastle, and a chance to move on to -1 with a win against Ross County, boss Gary Locke.
Nah, I'm not. Obviously, you've got to look at stats and that, but I wouldn't say I was a manager that spends a lot of time on that. We've had a target of trying to get to 0 points, and you know, the 3 points at Pittodrie gave everyone a massive boost, you know, and I've said to the players, if we can't take a lift at getting 3 points at such a difficult place, then, you know, we'll never take a lift. So I can certainly see that there's a bit of confidence came back in the last couple of weeks, and, you know, hopefully we can take that into Saturday.
It's sometimes not what you say, but the noise is around you. County's Richard Britton expecting it to be tough.
We all know it's a massive game because obviously Hearts are fighting for lives at the bottom of the league. They're starting to put on a good run of form. So, but whoever comes into the team will need to be ready for the challenge that's lying ahead this weekend.
Hearts v Ross County, Dave.
Hearts v Ross County, I think it's got to be a Hearts win. Ross County just seem to be in a bit of a rut, and you know, if Hearts' somewhat fortuitous victory at Aberdeen a couple of weeks ago doesn't give them an almighty lift, then nothing will. I take Hearts to win 2-0.
A managerless Inverness head into the game against Tommy Wright St Johnson pretty much the same way they would anyway, says Dean Brill.
Even in the week in training, we pretty much know what's happening, and it's been good to have that continuation. The boys will manage themselves to an extent when you get on the pitch anyway. Nothing changed for us in the way we prepare.
Tommy Wright of St Johnston, you sense, smells blood.
We have a pretty decent record against them, and you know, we probably had our best performance of the season, you know, against them at home. So we know what it takes to beat them, and we know it's going to be a difficult game because they are a really good side.
Inverness versus St Johnston, Dave.
I'm going to go for a share of the points there. I know Saints have a good record up there, but I think the lack of a manager that'll be, you know, that siege mentality type situation. So 1-1.
Finally, to Kilmarnock versus Motherwell, the Fir Park men just a point off the Dons heading into this one. Killie's Alan Johnson.
Boys were extremely disappointed after the St Johnson game because we've been playing well. The first half isn't good enough, but Ely's the kind of the goals that we lost. especially the first two, you're always going to get punished at this level. So we've just got to work in the concentration levels and make sure we don't get those goals like that.
Killy versus Motherwell. Dave Galloway, Killy Motherwell.
Killy against Motherwell. I would have to go for Motherwell to win that one. Kilmarnock, you wonder how sugarly a peg the manager Alan Johnson's coat is on, and I think it might get a bit more sugarly. I take Motherwell to win 3-0.
This is Northern One's Friday Sport, where we have rugby and more football to come. That's first with a full preview of the games elsewhere, as next we turn to Balmoor and Jim McAnally directly ahead on Friday Sport.
Northern One, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmoor and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
We're to Scotland's League Two in just a moment after we update you on some statistics that we have regarding tickets for the semi-finals, Dave.
Yeah, we've managed to get more than 75% of the Tynecastle allocation in the initial allocation, so it's 10,700 tickets for the Red Army. There may be additional tickets for Aberdeen supporters depending on the demand for St Johnstone, but it does mean that the priority groups will all get tickets, black and gold season ticket holders, then season ticket holders, mid-season ticket holders, and there will be a ballot for supporters clubs as well. There'll also be a small ballot for those who've gone to the away matches at Falkirk and Motherwell in the same tournament, and also three home games at Pittodrie, and those home games could include St Mirren, Motherwell and Ross County, which have still to come, but by that time it will be ballots if the demand, as I'm sure it probably will, exceed supply.
I mean, it could be that you're home for Christmas or something like that, and you go and try and catch a couple of Don's games, so you get some Ross County and Motherwell.
Yeah, and also, or just buy if you're really desperate to try and go, buy tickets and give them to somebody else if you want. Mm. But I think the bottom line is, and I know the manager's looking forward to the fact that it will be basically three sides of Tynecastle. So it will be absolutely jam-packed with Aberdeen fans. So
yes.
We have no excuses. Well, we might find some if we lose. But
that blooming referee.
That will not have. Well, there's one.
It was never a penalty. It was definitely a red card.
And if it's Ian Brines.
I was about to say, do we know that we don't know the match officials
yet,
do we?
No, right. Surely they wouldn't be that.
What, just to upset you, you mean?
No, just it's not just me, believe me.
No, I know.
Appalling.
Scotland's on start. We've only got 17 minutes left. Scotland's League Two put ahead drew at home against league leaders East Stirling last weekend. Tomorrow they face rock bottom Queen's Park. Manager Jim McAnally.
Queen's Park, they're an improving side. I always knew they would improve as the season went on, and they got over, you know, they overcame the loss of the players. They lost, what, 7 or 8 players in the summer. Good influential players at that. So they're kind of overcoming that. They've only lost 1 game in 7. You know, we'll just need to make sure that we're at it on Saturday. But I'm quite happy the way we're looking over getting back to normal and looking forward to the game.
In the Highland League, one early kickoff sees Keith welcome Strathspey Thistle. That match getting underway at 2 o'clock. Brora dropped the first points of the season in a goalless draw against league leaders from Martin United last Saturday, looking to get back to winning ways against Huntly. Sixth place Bucky Thistle host fourth spot Nairn County, where a win would reduce the gap between the two to just 3 points. Our game of the day sees Cove Rangers host from Martin United. Cove's Kevin Tindall.
The last season, there was a lot made the last season that they hadn't beaten us for since they came into the league, but they beat us now. So it's a tough ask for your young team against a vastly experienced side who are up at the top end and flying high. But as I said earlier, the 2 or 3 games that we've now had where we're scoring goals and causing teams problems, the young ones that we have, they just have to look at that and think, you know what, we're good enough to compete with Fermartin.
And for Martin, Steve Patterson.
They'll be seeing the game as an opportunity to cut the gap back that we kind of established early in the season, you know. So, at the same point, I suppose we could be saying, well, we've got, you know, a fair chance to put some daylight between us in terms of the race for the championship. But I would guess it'd be a really good game. Always seem to be very competitive games, you know.
Well, if 16 points of a gap going into this one isn't daylight, I don't know what it is.
I think Steve was just playing a wee bit of mind games when I interviewed him earlier, because I said, you know, Fermartin are obviously favourites for this. It's like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know. Cove have got a really good team. Oh, I'm not sure about that.
16 points. Yeah. 16. Yeah. In the other games, Forest welcomed Tariff United. It's Fort William against Devon Vale. Clach travel to Fraserburgh. Lossie hosts Rothes. And Scott Buchan's Inverdure Locos in fifth, making the journey north to play second spot Wick Academy Juniors Day.
With nine clubs still in the Fly Emirates Scottish Junior Cup, we've reached the third round stage. One of them will still be in next week because Hermes' planned game at Kilwinning Rangers has been postponed due to frozen Goldmouth area, so that will now be rescheduled for next Saturday. Games that do go ahead at this moment: Bankery St Tiernan at home to Whitlets Victoria, Banksidee entertain Larkhall Thistle, Colony Park they go to Carnoustie, Cruden Bay are down at Cumbernauld, Burghead Thistle away to Dalry, Devonside host Musselburgh, East End, they make a short journey to Montrose, Roselea and Stonehaven. They're down in to play Neilston, who ended the hopes of Maud 2-1 in the last round. In the PMAC Group Super League, it's Ellen United at home to Maud. Cooter go to FC Stonywood. Holrus United at home to New Elgin. And it's Longside versus Dice. The First Division East, Fraserburgh United entertain Buckenhaven Hearts. Bridge of Don Thistle travel to Lewis United. And Newmacker United against Glentanner. Sunnybank versus Parkvale. In the West, Dufftown against Nairn St Ninian. Whitehills are up at Fochabers. Forest Thistle entertain the leaders Inverness City. And finally, it's Port Gordon Victoria against Isle of Ale.
And frozen Goldmouth area is certainly something you'd always want to avoid if you can possibly help it. You're on Northern One's Friday Sport. Still to come ahead of the in-demand top 30 at 7. We focus on rugby and the English Premier League. Keep it Northern One's Friday Sport.
I can tell Mum is really worried about Christmas. There's no tree this year.
When the rain is blowing in,
she says Santa may not come.
And the whole world is
but I know Santa wouldn't forget about me.
It's our mission to make sure every child in the Northeast receives a gift this Christmas. You can donate an unwrapped gift at North Sound Radio or visit northsound1.com to find your nearest drop-off point.
The North Sound 1 Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with Bond Offshore Helicopters, providing mission-critical services and supporting the local community.
To make you feel my love.
Mary nervously sat down in the dentist's chair, clinging to it, like she'd just woken up in the middle of a bobsleigh race. As the seat lowered, Mary opened wide and squinted into the eye-watering light. But as the dentist leant in, she let out a teeth-rattling sneeze. Mary didn't get a lollipop. If only she'd had her pocket pack of Kleenex balsam, she could have caught that dental deluge in our most soothing tissue. Where's your Kleenex when you need it?
Find the perfect gift for the outdoor enthusiast in your life at Craigdon Mountain Sports, Scotland's leading ski and outdoor specialist. Craigdon Mountain Sports, Aberdeen and Inverurie.
Can't be done. That's what they said when we challenged one man to drive a Honda Civic Diesel from Surrey to Amsterdam and back on a single tank of fuel. Can't be done, they said. We say, yeah, it can. That's Dutch for yes, it can. The Civic 1.6 Diesel. With our most fuel-efficient engine yet, delivering an impressive 118 brake horsepower while emitting only 94 grams of CO2 per kilometre. Meaning, you pay no car tax.
Half-price winter collection sofas with guaranteed Christmas delivery ends soon. Tis time to get a move on. DFS, making every day more comfortable.
Yesterday, I fell in love with Union Square. Was looking for a last-minute gift for you-know-who, again. And there's so much to choose from. Loved it. Got something just right and treated myself to lunch, which was fine. With so many gifts for Christmas, late night shopping and parking for £1 after 6pm. That's why I love Union Square.
The Party Popper at Morrison's. Litre bottles of Gordon's Gin, Smirnoff Vodka, Bacardi White Rum and Bell's Whiskey are £15 each.
Selected stores while stocks last. Max free. Drink responsibly. End Sunday.
Hunting Energy Services, supplying tubulars and threaded accessories.
Following a number of key acquisitions, Hunting's product range now includes well perforation, cased hole logging, subsea chemical injection systems, and well testing equipment.
Hunting is ideally positioned to support global well completion and well intervention activities.
Hunting Energy Services, excellence in energy for over 100 years. Find us at huntingplc.com.
Romeo is in demand with the biggest hits tonight from 7.
North Sound 1.
When it comes to replacing your car's battery, you could drop by your friend Phil's. Phil's handy with cars. He's also training to be a chiropractor. Unfortunately, he failed his last practical and needs your help brushing up on spinal manipulation. Fortunately for him, your spine's got no plans this afternoon.
Ah!
Or you could drive directly to Halfords. They'll fit your battery right there in the car park from £6.99, which is a lot cheaper than a favour from Phil. Halfords, we fit so you don't have to. Exclusions apply.
Travel. In Aberdeen, there's still delays along Offham Road towards the Harrigan roundabout. Malcolm Road and Cooter still fairly sluggish heading south. Wellington Road moving well, but there's still a 5 to 10 minute wait at the Bridge of Dee. Great Western Road is closed eastbound between Brighton Place and Ashley Road. This will impact onto Union Grove and the surrounding area. There's a westbound lane closure on Garty Road between the Asda and B&Q roundabouts, and temporary traffic lights on Great Western Road at Morningside Road. In Aberdeenshire, the B9119 West Hill to Garlogie Road remains closed just west of the car roundabout following an earlier accident. Anything else you see, give us a call on the North Sound 1 Jambuster line with Sets Limited on Aberdeen 40 0040.
North Sound 1 Travel with Arnold Clark.
9 out of 10 customers were completely satisfied with Arnold Clark. Find out why at arnoldclark.com.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sports.
In England, the 221st Merseyside Derby is the highlight of this weekend's fixtures in the Premier League. For North Sound 1's Friday Sport, Elliot Cook looks ahead and starts his report with the views of the two managers involved in the big game.
This one is even more important because it's got that football significance, because both teams are in the top six.
Hopefully we can go on and perform like we did in their last games and get the result.
And in recent years, Liverpool have fared the better in this encounter. Everton have won only one of the last 13 meetings with their local rivals. For manager Roberto Martinez, it's his first experience of the derby.
It's a glamorous game, it's a glamorous fixture. It's one of those games that they have followed worldwide, and this one is even more important because it's got that football significance, because both teams are in the top six.
Liverpool manager Brendan Rodgers is relishing the contest.
It's going to be a fiercely competitive game. They're always intense, the build-up's great, and I really enjoyed the games last season, so hopefully we can go on and perform like we did in their last games and get the result.
Last season, Southampton were humiliated 6-1 at Arsenal on their return to the Premier League. Times have certainly changed for the South Coast side, who sit third in the league going into the weekend. Captain Adam Lallana says nothing is impossible for his team.
Why can't we go there and get a result? You know, we've done it at Old Trafford and at Anfield already this season, so the lads will be full of confidence, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Fourth place Chelsea are at West Ham, and Newcastle host Norwich. As for teams at the wrong end of the table, Crystal Palace, still without a permanent manager, visit Hull. It's fourth bottom against second bottom as Stoke take on Sunderland at the Britannia Stadium. Tottenham, who are struggling for goals, go to Manchester City on Sunday. Also on Sunday, Cardiff host Manchester United. On Monday, West Brom take on Aston Villa.
Rugby and for Aberdeen Cramer, break from the Scottish Premiership and a match in the RBS Caledonia Regional Cup, where they make the trip to face Howard Fife. Head coach Kevin Wynas.
Howard Fife, albeit they're in a couple of leagues below us, are a very, very good outfit. Well coached by an ex-Aberdeen lad, Gary Horn. They rack up the points, they're nearly top of their league, and they've demolished some teams with big scores. So we would certainly not take them for granted, and we know that they will attack and attack and attack us down on their pitch.
Kevin Wynas of Aberdeen Cramer there, and that is just about it for this week. It is Celtic versus Aberdeen tomorrow, and as Dave weighs things up, I will find the directions for you again, not to get to the park, but the directions because of the road restrictions in and around Parkhead.
I think also it's worth mentioning, because although it does say that, because we had a wee conversation about this, if you're coming from the south, normally the people that come from Aberdeen, which is not from the south, do take the M73, which is the Carlisle Road, and then you cut off. So that end of London Road is not open tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which means we've had to change our eating requirements.
I know. Are we allowed to say where we're going?
No. Please.
We might get a freebie if we do.
You might get mugged if you do. That's what might happen. Right, so this is it. Before we go, this is the way that things are panning out as far as the road's concerned. If you're heading down to the game, it shouldn't really affect buses too much, but if you're going to Parkhead by car, it could be a bit of a nightmare. No access to London Road for vehicles coming in from the south, as Dave mentioned there. Access travelling from the north will be as normal on Springfield
will be as normal, which is good news for most of us. No facilities for car parking in the usual public car park, though. Supporters buses parking is normal on Springfield Road, and there's also an event at the nearby, it's a Chris Hoy Velodrome, which may also compound parking in that general area. The suggestion is that you give yourself at least 30 minutes more than you might otherwise usually, and given probably the state of the roads and the fact that it'll be frosty overnight,
I think 30 minutes minimum
is conservative. Yeah,
yeah. And also the reason for all this, of course, is preparation for the Glasgow 2014 Commonwealth Games. So. But no, it's going to be a bit of a nightmare journey. So just be patient. That's the thing. Just, you know, we'll get there eventually. We'll be down there, of course. Jim is going to be at that game that we spoke about, Cove against Fromarty United. But it's the Dons against Celtic. Come on, ye Reds.